table today. Amen. We're ready to turn to the word of the Lord. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 8. And while you're turning there, I just wonder if all over this house we can give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise for all of our visitors. Amen. A visitor once, and then the second time you become a part of us, so watch out. Amen. You get bitten by the BBA bug, and next thing you know, this place becomes home. Amen. And we're thankful. How many's glad to call this place home today? Amen. How many's glad for the freedom you feel in the Holy Ghost today? Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place today. Amen. We truly are so grateful and thankful. Amen. We are blessed by the best today. And we have a reason to praise Him. Nobody should be more thankful than the church is. Nobody should be more excited than the church is. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm really feeling this freedom in my soul today. I'm really feeling my spiritual independence today. I'm really feeling good that my life is in His hands today. I'm feeling pretty good about being free in the Holy Ghost. One more time, we just need to clap our hands and give Him some high praise in this house today. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Freedom in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to preach to you today about a lady who was avenged or freed today on this Independence Day. If you'll meet me in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture. You can shout yes if you're there. Luke 18 and 1. If you don't have your Bibles, I believe our guys will put those texts up on the screen for you. Amen. Luke 18 and 1. And the word of the Lord says, "And he spake," he being Jesus, "a parable unto them to this end." Jesus spake a parable that men ought always to pray. That was the desire of the Lord. That's the reason why he taught this parable, is so that men could learn that they ought always to pray. Now, that doesn't mean on bended knee, hands lifted in the air 24 hours a day, but be in the spirit of prayer, as Paul spoke about. Amen. That men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither did he regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto the judge, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not avenge her for a while. But afterward," the Bible says, "he said within himself, Even though I do not fear God, nor do I regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me." And the Lord said, "I want you to hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" I want to preach to you today, amen, on this, the posture of prayer. The posture of prayer. If you would, lay your Bibles down in your seat gently today. Give the Lord one last hand clap of praise all over this house. Amen. As you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for the presence of the Lord that I feel in this place. What a wonderful, what a very comforting. Amen. How many feel comfort? There's no wonder that the Bible calls him our comforter. I feel comforted in the Lord today. Amen. And I'm so thankful for every good gift that God has placed in our lives. Amen. I want to preach to you today for a few moments on the posture of prayer. Amen. I was amazed how the Brother Paul began speaking a few moments ago about Adam and Eve in the garden. Because I want to talk about that for a few moments as well. Due to humanity's fallen nature, due to the mistakes, the disobedience in the garden, we see that every society upon the earth today is continually, Brother Bo, exposed to injustice. Last night, my daughter Alexis and her husband Joe come back to our place, and while they were out, they ran into an incident where a man was running from the police, crashed his car, almost T-boned them and their children in their vehicle, and Brother Joe was fortunate enough, guided by the hand of God enough, to slam on his brakes, and as the car zipped right by where they would have been in the intersection, he lost control, ran, and crashed into a sign, and police surrounded and pulled their gun on him. Can I tell you, all of our societies are surrounded by injustice. Because of man's fallen nature, we see things, we feel things, we go through things that was not intended for us to go through. But we have injustice upon the earth. But thanks be to God today, we have a God that is just. And we have a God today that loves justice. Amen. But every society today faces injustice. And due to man's fallen nature, we see these things, we experience these things, and you know, there are days, on days when things are going really, really good for us. How many know we have our good days and we have our bad days? We have our days where the goodness of God is very easy to see, Brother Jacob. And then we have our days where we're just feeling sorry for ourselves and we really got to look hard to see the goodness of God in our lives. Amen. But on those really, really good days when we're really feeling blessed, you know, we find ourselves shocked, you know, like me and my wife was talking about. We had said last night, we were sitting around, we're talking about, you know, how good the Lord is, and thanking God for our children and our grandchildren and all of the blessings in our life, and you know, to the point where we felt guilty, and we see that all of these people suffering. These people going through so much over in Texas. And I saw that there were dozens of young girls in just one camp that were swept away. And, you know, on our really good days, we're counting our blessings, and the goodness of God is so easy to see in our life. Amen. On those days, we are shocked to hear, amen, of just another soul suffering and the things that people go through. But can I tell you, even on our worst days, we can always find somebody who is worse off than we are. Amen. And thankfully, you know, there in this common suffering, and we all go through suffering, there is a common antidote. There is a common resolution, and it's called faith. It's called faith in God. Amen. No matter what you go through, your faith in God can carry you through it. You might not get the end result you want. God might not work it out the way that you wanted him to work it out. But if you have faith in God and you know God's ways are higher than your ways, you know that God's will always needs to be done because he is a just God today. He is a just God today. You know, enter the widow in Luke 18. Here we are, we see this lady who is obviously suffering, this lady who is obviously going through so much. She was married, and the Bible tells us that she was widowed. She had already buried her husband. Amen. And now we see that she has some enemies, some creditors that are coming, and they want to take her land away from her. Amen. And for her, for this woman, for this widow, her gray skies have just gotten much grayer. How many know even in your gray skies, they can still get grayer? Even in your worst moments, it can still get worse than what it is. Amen. So what do? We learn to trust in God. We learn to lean on God. We learn to have faith in God, even in our worst of circumstances. We see this widow in Luke 18. Amen. She's lost her husband. They're trying to take away her land. She's suffering. She's going through so much. She's going through all of these things. And as bad as things are, they continually just seem to get worse. Amen. And Jesus begins this story, amen, by describing a judge, which the Bible says feared not God, neither did he regard man. Amen. And this judge was in a position of power. This judge was in a position of influence. And he was in a position, he had the ability and he had the responsibility to help this lady who was in need. Amen. But that was not what he was interested in doing. The judge neither feared God. The judge neither regarded man. Amen. He was more interested in his own level of comfort than he was the needs that were around him. Amen. And from this, he got his nickname, the unjust judge. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called unjust judge. Amen. Thank God we have a just judge today. We don't have an unjust judge. We have a just judge today who's more interested in helping us than he is destroying us. He's more interested in redeeming us than he is condemning us. I don't know about you today, but I think we ought to clap our hands all over this house if you're thankful that you serve a just judge and a just God today. Amen. He's not unjust. He is just today. Amen. And you know, here we are, this widow. We're looking at this little widow lady, and she was powerless without the help of this judge. How many have ever felt like you were in a position that without someone else's help, you wasn't going to be able to get it done? Amen. This woman was powerless without the help from this judge. Amen. It was not looking good for this little widow. Amen. Things were continually to get worse. Amen. And you know, the Lord doesn't include in the Word of God all of the details about everything, about how long she had been struggling with this situation, how long she had been going through this ordeal. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, when we look, we tend to cast ourselves as the widow in this parable. How many know very few times, unless the Lord's really speaking to you, most of you have probably never cast yourself as the judge in this scenario. Not me. I want to feel sorry for myself. I want to be the one who's being mistreated. I want to be the one who's being overlooked. I don't want the Lord to show me that I'm the one who's overlooking. I don't want the Lord to show me I'm the one who's being unjust. But the truth of the matter is this. All of us have some level of authority, some level of power, some level of influence. All of us have the ability to help someone. And how many times do we overlook that person who's in need? Because we, as people, tend to cast ourselves as the widow instead of as the judge. Amen. And the Bible doesn't tell us how many times she came to this unjust judge. Amen. But the similarities, you know, that are in our lives to the judge in this parable are more common than we probably want to believe. I wonder how many times in my life, Brother Paul, I had the ability to help somebody, but I didn't hear the voice of God telling me to do it. I wonder how many times I had the ability to avenge somebody, to give them what they needed, But I wasn't in a position, Sister Lissy, to hear the voice of God telling me to do it. The truth of the matter is, we tend to cast ourselves as the widow in this parable, but many times we could be the judge. Many times we could be the one who's not listening to the voice of God. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, he instructed the church to not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Why would the Bible, why would the Apostle Paul tell us to not grow weary in well-doing if it was not God's will for us to do well-doing? If it wasn't God's will for us to do well-doing unto other people on a regular basis, why would he even bring up the fact that we can grow weary in doing it? Because it's God's will, amen, that we use our power, use our influence, use our abilities, use our blessings, use our skills, use our finances, amen. Can I tell you, if God blesses you with a new car, he didn't bless you with a new car because you're the only person in the world who has the ability to make a lot of money. God blessed you with a new car so you could invite somebody in your neighborhood to come to church with you and you could drive them to the house of the Lord. We all have the power, the ability to help other people sometimes. The question is, can we hear the voice of God telling us to do it? The Apostle Paul told us, don't grow weary in well-doing. Amen. Can I tell you that if you're going to live for God, I was thinking about this on the way to church this morning. How many know living for God takes grit? Now, that won't win a preacher a popularity contest. But it really does. Living for God takes grit. How many know it ain't always easy living for God? How many know when all hell is assailing you and the enemy's attacking you with everything that he has, how many know it ain't always easy living for God? Amen. And if somebody tells you that it's the easiest thing they ever did, it might be one of the greatest things you ever did and one of the most joyful things that you ever did, but living for God ain't always easy. In fact, it takes grit. It takes grit, amen. And what we see in this little widow is she had grit, Brother Caleb. Amen. It takes grit, amen, to come and ask and to keep coming and to keep asking, even when someone has told you no. Huh? Thank God I had enough grit. A bunch of members in my family had enough grit that we wasn't going to leave Brother David alone. No matter how many times he told us he was fine doing what he was doing. No matter how many times he said he was fine living the life he was going to live. Amen. Same goes with Brother Bo. Amen. We wasn't going to let him be. Why? Because we had the grit of the Holy Ghost. And we knew what we had they needed. Can I tell you, you can't take a no. You can't take a rejection personal. What you got to have is grit in your spirit. You got to have grit. And this little widow, she had grit in her spirit. And no matter how many times this unjust man who feared not God, neither regarded man, this little widow was not going to take no for an answer. How many know that's the kind of determination God wants us to have today? We're not going to take no for an answer. It's kind of like Jacob wrestling, amen, with the angel of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to let go until you bless my soul. That's the kind of grit it's going to take to get you to heaven today, church. That's the kind of grit it's going to take you to get your sins washed away from you and to keep them out of your life, church. You got to have grit today in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It takes grit to continually keep coming and asking. And this little widow was built out of grit. She had grit in her spirit. Amen. We don't know how often she approached this unjust judge. We don't know how many times she asked him. We don't know how many times she was told no, but we do know that she had enough grit to keep coming back and to say, I need you to avenge me. We only need to know that she had it in her that she was never going to stop asking. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know how many times. We don't need to know what all she did. Amen. And you know what? This judge could not stop thinking about her petition or her request. Amen. So he eventually ruled in her favor because she simply would not stop asking him to avenge her. She was not going to stop asking him. I mean, Jesus encouraged everyone to pay attention to what the judge said. He said, I want you to pay attention to the response of what this judge said. To understand, amen, the potential that lies within us when we refuse to allow ourselves to become discouraged. Amen. When our request is just. Amen. We know. Come on, look, you know today that you have a just God. And if your request is just, you know you can continually come to a just God with a just request. He might not give it to you the first time you ask. He might not give it to you the second time you ask. He might not give it to you the 100th time you ask, but he's a just God today. And he knows what's in your heart. And he knows what's best for you today. And if you have determination in your soul, if you got the grit of the Holy Ghost deep down on the inside of you, I don't care how many times you got to ask, you're going to keep coming to God today, and you're going to say, Lord, I know this is your will for my life. Come on, how many know just because God doesn't give it to you when you ask don't mean that he's being unjust. He's not this unjust judge. He's a just God today. And he doesn't delay in his response to us because he is unjust. He delays in his response sometimes because he knows we need to learn something. Or we need to go through something. Or he needs to do something in us. How many remember when David was anointed by Samuel to become the king of Israel? Years went by before David ever saw that kingdom. Why? Because God had to prepare something in David for the kingdom. David could not have taken the kingdom in the position that he was in, but God needed to do something in David. Can I tell you, the next time God don't give you exactly what you're asking for, right now maybe God's creating something in you that's able to sustain the blessing that he has for you. You ought to thank God today for his delayed response in your life. You ought to thank God today because he's a just God. Many times if God put his blessings in our hands when we wanted them, we would destroy them. How many know sometimes God doesn't have a choice but to wait before he pours his blessings in our life? Huh? Because we just mess up the blessings of God in our lives. But sometimes God is just, he is just enough to say, I'm going to give you what you're asking for, but I'm not going to give it to you right now because you ain't ready for it. You don't put a $250,000 salary in someone who's only capable of handling a $25 an hour salary. They're going to waste everything they got. I know God's got to prepare us sometimes for some things. God's got to get us ready sometimes for some things. And we got to understand that God's delay in his response to what we ask of him is not always, it's not ever because he is unjust. No, it's because he knows we ain't ready for it. He knows we ain't ready for it. But when we come to God and we know that our request is just, we can come before a just God and we continually with grit in our spirit can ask God, knowing what God has in store for us. Jesus encouraged us to pay attention to the response of the judge. Why? Because he wants us to know that if we have a request that is just, we can continually bring it to him. That's not begging today. That's reminding God, hey, Lord, get me ready for what you have for me. How many want God to get you ready for what he has for you? Come on, I don't want God to give me what I ain't ready for. I want God to get me ready for what he has for me. I want God to prepare me. I want God to make me what he wants me to be so I can walk in his blessings, so I can enjoy his blessings, so I can not squander the blessings of God in my life. Amen. God loves justice, church. We serve a God today that loves justice. Amen. And God calls us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with him. Come on. You can do not allow people, amen, with selfish motives to pervert the justice of God in your life. Amen. You serve a just God today. Amen. You serve a just God today. We got to be willing to continually bombard heaven with our just request. Amen. With our pleas, with our cries. Amen. And never grow weary in praying for the will of God to be done in our life. That's where the tricky part comes in, Brother Carl. We bombard heaven, but we don't bombard heaven for the will of God. We bombard heaven for what we want. We bombard heaven for what satisfies our flesh. No, we need to bombard heaven for the will of God to be done in our life, because there's no place greater in your life you could ever be than right where the glory is coming out of the spout, right where the will of God is coming to pass in your life. We need to bombard heaven today with our pleas, with our cries, and never grow weary in praying for the will of God to be done in our lives. We take on the posture of this widow in prayer. How many know there is a posture to prayer? And when I say there's a posture, I'm not talking about bent knees and raised hands. I'm talking about the life that you live. Does your life say to your Lord, I'm here, God, whatever it is you want me to be, whatever it is, God, you want me to do, I want to be in your will. I want to be in your way. I'm positioned. I'm positioned. I'm postured for prayer today. I want you to use me for your glory today. There is a posture. We got to have the posture that this little widow had. She was not going to take no for an answer. It didn't matter how many times she had to come back to this unjust judge. She was not going to give up. Amen. She was not going to give up. And we got to be willing to bombard heaven with our pleas, with our cries. And if we take on the posture, if we have the grit that this little widow had in prayer, amen, we can be confident today in the Holy Ghost. We can be confident today that our Heavenly Father will grant our request according to His riches and glory. But you don't want it on your time. You think you do, but you don't. You think you want things in your time, but you don't want it in your time. I'm telling you, you're going to mess it up in your time. You got to be willing to trust God in His time. But you got to have the grit of this little widow to bombard heaven today with your request before a just God. Come on. Many times, to really understand how this parable applies to our lives today, church, we got to realize how unlike the widow we often are, and how unlike the unjust judge God really is. Sometimes, if we don't get it in the first time, we quit. Sometimes, if we don't get it in a third time, we quit. And the thing about God is, He is not like this unjust judge. He's not going to grant you anything because you're under His skin. He's not going to grant you anything because you're wearing Him out. Any delay that God has in granting your request is because He's doing what's best for you. Come on, I have watched young ladies, I have watched young men petition God for a spouse when all along they weren't ready for it. You want to know why God is delaying in your response? Maybe because you weren't ready for it. Maybe because you was going to mess up what He was about to send you. How many know God's delay in our request is always because He's doing, Brother Doug, what's best for us. He's doing what's best for us. I've asked God for many things in my life, and God has delayed His response many times in my life. But I've come to learn over time that God does not do that because He is unjust. He does that because I'm not ready for what I'm asking. We got to be willing to bombard heaven for the will of God and not our own will. For the will of God. God loves justice. He calls us to live justly, to walk humbly. And to understand the true meaning of this parable, we got to understand how much unlike this gritty little widow we really are sometimes, and how unlike this unjust judge our God really is today. The Word of God declares that the Lord is the rock. Amen. He's the rock of our salvation. Come on, the Word of God declares He's the rock today. His Word is perfect. And all of His ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. He's a God without iniquity. He's just and right is the Lord, the Bible says. Just and right is the Lord. We serve a just God and a just Savior today. But we got to have faith and prayer to see that justice is enforced in our world. We got to have faith in praying to God that God is going to do what's best for us in our lives and not what we want. Because if we're not ready for it, you may think you want God to give it to you now, but if you're not ready for it, you don't want God to give it to you now. Because you're just going to destroy it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Jesus said, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of Him? How many know, because our vision is limited, how many know we have a limited vision? You might not want to admit it today, but you have a limited vision. And because our vision is limited, we may not recognize God's justice in our lives. How many remember that prophet in the Old Testament, a man who was worrying about his feet, was about to slip, he was about to throw in the towel. He didn't understand how God was allowing the wicked to prosper. He didn't understand, well, why are all these people who are doing all the wrong things? And I've heard people say it many times in my life. I just can't seem to understand why this guy who lies and this guy who cheats and this guy who does all these things, why he's being blessed and why he's prospering. But what we don't realize is there's coming an end to all of that stuff. There's coming a time we're going to stand before God. And that's what you got to worry about today. Where are you going to land in eternity? Where are you going to end up when you stand before God? That's what we got to be worried about today. Whether it's right now or it's whether it's on judgment day, everyone is going to stand before God. So you can't look at right now, oh, well, this one's doing wrong and they're receiving this. And let me tell you something. That don't mean God ain't just today. That don't mean that God ain't just today, because every man, it's appointed unto him once to die and then to judgment. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be broke in this life and rich in the next one than rich in this life and broke and living in hell in the next one. I want God to prepare me for what He has for me. Any delay in the response of God is for my own betterment. Because our vision is limited. We cannot always see the justice of God. We often fail to see when the justice of God has been performed. Even after we have prayed for it, sometimes we can't see that God did what was best for us. Oftentimes, in church services, oftentimes, Sister Lissy, in prayer services, I have come to the realization, I have discovered the limitations of my own understanding. How many of you have ever been seeking the Lord in prayer and a light bulb just come on in your head and say, that's why God didn't do that for me? Oftentimes, Brother Mike, he shows me how limited my understanding is. Oftentimes, he shows me how ignorant I really am. How limited my vision is and how limited my understanding is. We read in Isaiah 55 where the Lord said His ways are higher than our ways are. But yet we can't seem to trust Him to perform His ways. If His ways are higher than ours are, why would we want our lower ways rather than God's higher ways? But if we read in Isaiah 55, the Lord's ways are higher than our ways are, and His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts are. Sometimes we look at our lives and we look at the state of the world that we're living in, and we wonder how we could be so far off base in our prayers. It's because we have limited vision. It's because living for God requires for us to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to learn to trust God. He cannot give us everything we ask for right when we ask for it. He would not be a just God today. It's in those moments, it's in those times that we have to remember the persistence of this little widow. We have to remember the grit that she had in her spirit. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going to throw in the towel. She wasn't going to let her lamb be taken away from her. We remember, amen, the persistence of this little widow. We remember the posture of her prayer. She was going to continually come back, and she was not going to take no for an answer. We remember to pray to a just God, amen, who promised that he would avenge us speedily. Is that not what the scripture said a while ago? He would avenge us speedily. Sometimes we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through, why we're facing what we're facing. Amen. But we serve a God today that will avenge us speedily. We got to trust him to right all of the wrongs in our lives. Some now, some later, some on that glorious day, some on that judgment day. God's going to make it all right. He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. You may have to go through some stuff right now, but there's coming a day you won't ever have to go through it again. You may have to endure some stuff right now, but there's coming a day you won't ever have to go through it again. And let me tell you, you much rather live with him eternally in glory than endure weeping and gnashing of teeth where the fire's not quenched. Amen. You rather trust a just and a living God today. But to receive all these promises, church, we got to live by faith. Living by faith ain't always easy. Trusting in God ain't always easy. Knowing that God's doing what's best for us ain't always easy. But we got to learn to live by faith, because without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. How many want to please God today? You ain't going to please God without faith. The just shall live by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not when they want to. Not when it's popular. Not when it feels good. Not when it's convenient for us. No, he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. He's a just God today. And we got to have the grit in our spirit and in our soul today. Amen. If you'll stand with me quickly as the musicians come. We got to have a grit in our spirit, a grit in our soul today. We got to be positioned and postured for prayer. Always praying. Not on bent knee, not with raised hands, but postured for prayer. Postured for what God has for us in our lives. Learning to walk by faith and not by sight. Learning to trust God that his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than ours are. God's delay in his response to us is never because he's being unjust. It's always because he's doing what's best for us. Just standing here for a few moments preaching to you today, I can look back over my life in my mind and I can think about things, Sister Angie, that I asked God for. And today I'm so thankful he didn't give them to me. You know why? Because he's just. You know why? Because he knows better than I do. He knows exactly what he's doing today. We got to have grit in our spirit today. We got to have grit in the Holy Ghost today. We got to have determination today that we're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to take no for an answer. We're going to continually live for God. We're going to continually be postured in prayer. We're going to continually seek God and bombard heaven for the will of God to be done in our life, regardless of whether that is what we were hoping it would be or not. We need the will of God to be done in our lives. But I've watched so many people throw in the towel just a few moments early. I've watched so many people give up right when God was about to move. I was reading a story this week in the early 1800s during the gold rush. There was a man who traveled from Maryland to Colorado. He just knew he was going to strike it rich. And when he got there, as he began to dig, he came across a little bit of a gold. As he digged a little bit more, he found a little bit more gold. He realized quickly that he wasn't going to be able to mine all of this gold with his two hands and a shovel, Brother Tim. So he travels back to Maryland, and there he gets his nephew. His name was Real Darby, and you can read about this yourself. He goes back to Maryland, and he talks his nephew in to coming back to Colorado with him. They go out and they hit up all their neighbors, all their friends. They borrow money from everybody they knew they could borrow money from, and they buy themselves some machinery to dig that gold up that he found out that he was hiding in Colorado. They travel back to Colorado. They begin to dig. Once they got past that little bit of gold that he found, they found nothing. They dig deeper. They found nothing. They found nothing. In their discouragement, in their frustration, in their discontent, they packed up all their machinery and they sold it to an investor for several hundred dollars. You know what the investor did? He went out, he found some geologists. He went out, he talked to some experts. He comes back and he struck gold 3 feet. He hit a vein 3 feet from where they were digging. Can I tell you, you're so close. You're so close. Don't stop bombarding heaven. You're so close to God doing exactly what you've been asking Him to do. But if you throw in the towel because of your frustration, because of your discouragement, because of your discontent, if you throw in the towel, you're going to miss out on everything that God had in store for you. The lady, and I've told this story many times in this church. I'm going to tell it again. You're just going to have to endure it. I watched a lady in the church seek and beg God for years to save her son. For years she prayed. She would tell the church, I need you to pray. God will save my son. And one day, with my very own eyes, I stood in that church. She was not there, but I watched her son walk in the back door of the church. He canvassed the building from right to left, row to row, seat to seat, looking all over the church for his mother. When he realized his mother was nowhere to be found in the sanctuary, you know what he did, Brother Doug? He turned right around. He walked out the door. She was so close. She was right there. All she had to do was not throw in the towel. All she had to do was continue believing God. All she had to do was have the grit of this little widow who was not going to take no for an answer. I come to tell you, Mama, don't stop praying for that lost child. Don't you give up because God's going to do it. I come to tell you, Daddy, don't give up on that son. Don't give up on that cousin. Don't give up on that one you love so much because God's going to do it as long as you got the grit of the Holy Ghost to say, I'm not going to take no for an answer. Sometimes we give up when we're so close and God's getting ready to do exactly what we've been asking Him to do. But in our frustration, in our limited vision, in our discontent, man, I see it right here in this sanctuary. Just a few short years ago, man, I saw Brother Mike. I heard Brother Mike come to me continually. I need you to pray for Jacob. I need you to pray for Jacob. I need you to pray for Jacob. I'm scared I'm losing him. I'm scared I'm going to lose him. Man, he never stopped jumping in the house of God. He never stopped worshiping in the house of God. And today that young man stands in this church and him and his fiance knelt just a few moments ago right here at this altar and shed tears and sought God together. Why? Because we're faithful unto God. He'll be faithful unto us. He's not unjust today. He's a just God. But we can't give up right when He's about to do it. 3 feet from where Real Darby was digging. Some guy who bought everything he had for several hundred dollars walks right over there, 3 feet over, smokes right into a vein of gold. And you know what? If it wasn't for his discontentment, his frustration, all of the things that he allowed to take control of his mind and his heart, he'd have a different place in history. He'd be known as one of those gold diggers who hit it big. But today we're talking about him because he missed it. He missed it. He missed it just by a fraction. You know what? I don't want years down the road be talking about they almost made it. They were right there. They had it right at their fingertips. God was about to do it, but they gave up too soon. They threw in the towel too soon. They let their frustrations get a hold of them. They let their discontentment get a hold of them. No, we got to have the grit of this little widow. We got to have the grit down in our spirit to say, you know what? God's called me to it. God's going to see me through it. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I know what he promised me. His promises are yea and amen. And I'm going to keep bombarding heaven for the will of God to be done in my life. Don't let your limited vision rob you of everything that God wants to do for you. God has big plans for your life. God has big things in store for your life. God has big things in store for this church. You're 3 feet from the mark. Don't stop now. Don't throw in the towel now. Don't give up now. God's going to do it. But you're going to have to bombard heaven, and you're going to have to allow God to prepare you to receive it and allow God to get you ready so you can walk in it. We're going to sing one closing song today. Amen. As we get ready to close out this service, amen, I know you have already all come up here and prayed. What a wonderful presence of the Lord we have felt in this place today. It's a very special feeling of freedom in here today. It's not like what I felt when I was watching fireworks over the weekend, Sister Emily. It's like fireworks going off in my soul, in my mind, in my heart, realizing that I'll never be free without him. I'll never walk in my blessings without him. I'll never have the life that I could have in him without him. It's freedom. It's liberty. It's the comfort of the Holy Ghost today. How blessed are we to live in the land of the free? But how much more blessed are we today, Brother Kyler, to be free indeed. That's where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty. I feel that liberty in this house today. As we sing this closing song, I want you to lift your hands up.